the bottom line. Our Gemara continues in discussing where throughout Shas the word Hakol is used as in our Mishnah, and what is the Hakol coming to teach us? Says the Gemara, the Mishnah says, Hakol Chayov and Mikra Megillah, everybody is obligated to read the Megillah. Hakol Ksherim Likrasis Megillah, everybody's kosher to may read the Megillah. Says the Gemara, L'suyanai, what, who is coming to be included with these words of Hak, with this word of Hakol? Answers the Gemara, L'suyanashim. It's coming to include that women are also included in the din of Mikra Megillah. Ukrib Yishub ben Levi, Damri Yishub ben Levi, Noshim Chayovus of Mikra Megillah. Women are also obligated in Mikra Megillah. Sha'af hein hoi ba'is ha'neis, they were included, they were part of the Neis of Purim. Posh Pshat is that Haman's decree to destroy all of Klal Yisrael was not just on the men, but was on the women as well. Another Pshat that the Rishonim suggest in Af Hein Holy Voice and Neis is that actually the women were the ones that caused the Neis, because we know that the entire Neis Purim came about because of Esther. And this, these two Pshatim perhaps will be relevant in explaining a very fundamental Machloitus Rishonim that we have here in our Gemara. Rashi says that when our Gemara says women are included in Mikra Megillah, they have a full-fledged obligation in Mikra Megillah, and Rashi says they could even be mitzi, they could even read the Megillah on behalf of men. Tosfos, however, quotes the Bahag, who says that women cannot be mitzi men, because women have only a chiyuv to hear the Megillah, and men have a chiyuv to read the Megillah, and therefore women cannot be mitzi men. And there are many explanations given in this Machlokes Rishonim regarding women's obligation to Mikra Megillah. One pshat is the pshat that we just actually spoke about, and that is perhaps the Machlokes is based on why are women included in the din of Mikra Megillah. If we say because they were just also saved, maybe they only have a chiyuv to hear the Megillah. But if we say, as the other pshat we suggested, that they were the main people in the Neis of Purim, so then the halacha will be that they would be obligated, then they have a full-fledged obligation equal to the obligation that men have as well. Another way of explaining the machlokes between Rashi and the Bahag is the Brisker Rav's explanation. The Brisker Rav says, of course we know that women are normally potter from mitzvah aseh shezman groma. Any mitzvah that's linked to a specific time, women are exempt. So now the question that comes up is, women in the din of Mikra Megillah, but certainly Mikra Megillah is a mitzvah aseh shezman groma, how do we look at their obligation? Do we view their obligation that Chazal said that even though normally mitzvah aseh shezman groma, women are exempt, here, because of the concept of Avhein Hoyo, Be'Oisa Nes, that's why they are going to be included in the din of Mikra, they're going to be included in the din of Mikra Megillah. That's one way of understanding the Halacha, and that seems to be Rashi's opinion. And that's why women have the exact same halachas as men regarding Mikra Megillah. Or another way of understanding it is that since women are typically exempt from mitzvah aseh shezman groma, here Chazal had to make a new rule to include them in the din of Mikra Megillah. And the rule that Chazal made was limited only to hearing the Megillah, Shmias Megillah, not Mikra Megillah. That's the way the Brisker Rav explains this Machlokes Rashi in the Bahag. The Bar Cheshis has two ways of understanding this machlokes. One way of explaining it is he says that when we read the Megillah, there are actually two aspects in the reading of the Megillah. One is Pirsumei Nisa, to publicize the great nes that happened on Purim, and the other is that there's a din of Zechiras Mechias Amolek, that we have to eradicate Amolek. And in fact, that's why the halacha is that if someone can't make it to shul on Parsha Zohar, there are poskim that suggest that it could be yotze mitzvah zechiras mechias amalek through hearing the Megillah. Now, there's a machlokes rishonim if women are obligated in the din of zechiras mechias amalek. Rashi suggests the Macheshes will agree with the Rambam that women are included in the obligation of zechiras mechias amalek, and therefore their obligation in the Megillah is equivalent to the men. It has both aspects, Pirsumei Nisa and Zechiras Mechias Amalek. Whereas the Bahag will hold that the part of Mikra Megillah of Pirsumei Nisa certainly applies to women, because as the Gemara just said, Af Hein Hoya Baisa Hanes. But the din of Zechiras Mechias Amalek is only for men and not for women, and therefore their obligations are different. Women only have a Chiv Shmiya, men have a Chiv of Mikra as well. The Macheshes, however, gives another explanation in the Machloikis of Rashi in the Bahag. He suggests that there are two other aspects in Mikra Megillah. One, again, is the Pirsumei Nisa, of the great nes that occurred on Purim, and the other is Hallel. And actually, we're going to have a Gemara later in our Masechta that asks, why don't we say Hallel on Purim? And the Gemara says, Kri Usoi Zehiluloi. We don't have to say Hallel on Purim, because reading the Megillah is the Hallel. And in fact, that's why there's a Chiddush we'll speak about from the Meiri, that the Meiri says if one doesn't have a Megillah, perhaps he should say Hallel. Says the Macheshes that women are not included in the Chiyuv of Hallel. And therefore, according to the Bahag, women only have a din of Shmiya, not a Mikra, because Hallel is only said by men. Rashi will say, will obviously be of the opinion that Mikra Megillah is only Pirsumei Nisa, it doesn't represent anything regarding Hallel. But the Macheshes goes on to say that if this is the basis of the Machloikis of Rashi and the Bahag, so then they would only be disputing, arguing by Mikra Megillah during the day. We know we read the Megillah by day and by night. Because by night, certainly there is no obligation of Hallel. Because Hallel is only recited by day. Hallel is not recited by night. So according to this explanation, says the Macheshes, only by the Mikra Megillah by day will Rashi say there's a difference between men and women. By night, since there's no Hallel by night, the Bahag will agree that the obligation of men and women at night are the same. And this discussion, and as the Ramah says, we are machmer for the Shita of the Bahag, opens up a number of questions. The question is that, of course, if women comes to shul and they hear the Megillah together with everyone else, and the Bracha Mikra Megillah said, and they hear the Megillah read, everything is understandable. But if women can't make it to the Beis HaKnesses for Mikra Megillah, and they hear Megillah by themselves with a man reading the Megillah on their behalf, what bracha should be said? Because we know the bracha that we say when we read the Megillah is HaShekhidishan Mitzvah Mikra Megillah. But the Bahag says the women aren't included in Mikra Megillah. They're included in Shmias Megillah. There are many different opinions amongst the Paiskim. Many Paiskim are of the opinion that indeed women, if there's only a group of women hearing the Megillah with no men, the bracha recited should be L'shmoya Mikra Megillah. And the question then is, when the man who's reading the Megillah on behalf of this group of women, but let's say he has already been yotzi the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah, what should he do? Because should he say the bracha of L'shmoya Mikra Megillah?
Should each woman say the mitzvah, the bracha themselves? Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld, paskins in the shouts, Judas Silmas Chaim, that the man should make the bracha of Lishmaya Mikra Megillah. Because his explanation is that even if we follow the opinion of the Bahag, the women's obligation is only Lishmaya, we have no right to make our own bracha, to make our own Nusach HaBracha. And if we find that the Nusach HaBracha of Mikra Megillah is a Mikra Megillah, that is the Nusach for women as well. There's another opinion in the Paiskim that says that we're going to follow the opinion of the Bahag, that the obligation of women is only to hear the Megillah, and therefore, as we've been saying, the words of our Mikra Megillah, the bracha of our Mikra Megillah, is not really appropriate, then they can't make any bracha. Because our Mikra Megillah, as we just explained, doesn't make sense for women. And Lishmaya Mikra Megillah is not a bracha that we find that Chazal ever instituted. And the halacha is that we have no right to make up our own brachas. And perhaps then, some wise can suggest that women wouldn't make a bracha at all. But then I saw the Mefarshim are very focused on the women. The Paiskim are focused on what bracha women make. But there really is a question on men as well. If we're saying, and in this there is no machlokes, that men are obligated to read the Megillah from the Megillah, that's the way Chazal established this mitzvah. So if we come to shul, and of course the Baal Kaire has a Megillah, but not everybody listening to the Megillah has their own Megillah, how are they yotzi the mitzvah? And in fact, this is the basis for the custom that many people have, that they have their own Megillah. Because in order to be yotzi the mitzvah properly, the mitzvah requires to hear the Megillah from the Megillah. The Torah Ever, however, says that just like we yotzi the Mikra Megillah through the Baal Kaire, because of the concept of Shomea Ka'ona, says the Torah Evan that what Shomea Ka'ona teaches us is that the Baal Kaire and the person reading are one and the same. And if the Baal Kaire obviously is reading the Megillah from a kosher Megillah, then I, who am listening to Baal Kaire, have the exact same halacha as if I am hearing it from the, as if I am reading it from the cloth itself. But that opens up a very interesting discussion. Because what would be the halacha if someone is blind? Rahman al-Islam. Can he get an aliyah? If we're now saying that Turi Evan was mechadish, that Shemei Ka'ayna puts the person who hears the kriya in the place of the Baal Kaire, so yes, unfortunately, this Summa is unable to read the words of the Torah. But the Baal Kaire is reading the words, and he's seeing the words, and he's saying the words, so maybe he should be able to get an aliyah. So the Pais can say that there's another concern, that it, yes, the Summa and the Baal Kaire become one and the same because of the halachic concept of Shemei Ka'ina. But at the end of the day, the Summa is unable to see the words of the Torah, and there's a din the Dvarash of Iksav, Iyat Rishoy Lo'en Rom Alpeh. And therefore, because of that, says the Paiskim, that even the Torah Evan would agree that a Summa cannot get an aliyah. The halacha is that when we bench as a group of people, or three people say Birchas Hamazon together, we say Zima. So Brisa says, how come it start from the Zimun? The Suyamai, what is that coming to include? Says the Rabbi, Suya Kotna Yidei L'mim Avarchim. It comes to include a child who knows what benching is all about. Domer Nachman, Yidei L'mim Avarchim, a child who understands what Birchas Hamazon is all about, Mezanolov, to be part of the Zimun. The Mefarshim, the Pais can point out that even though this is the halacha, that they could and could be part of the Zimun, the halacha is that we wait to include children only when they're age 13. Furthermore, the Pais can suggest that even according to the Gemara that says that a cotton can be included in the group of Zimun, it means he can be part of the group, but he's not the one
that should lead the Zimun. Although the place we want to say that perhaps is only applicable when it was the minute that the Mezameh said the Birchas Hamazon and everybody else just listened. But in a time when everybody's saying the Bracha themselves, perhaps not only can he be part of the Zimun, he could be even the one to lead the Zimun.
It comes to also include women and avodim. The Tanya Noshim is amnus l'atzmam, avodim is amnus l'atzmam. Noshim are part of a zimun, and avodim are part of a zimun. But, as everybody explains, they're part of a zimun for themselves. Noshim cannot combine with men. Rashi explains the reason Noshim cannot apply with men is because men, including the in the Bris of Muslim, we include a bris chashasamtim of serenu, and women aren't part of a bris. In the Bris of Muslim, says al orishil chaltu avisenu, and avodim don't have a part of Eretz Yisrael. Even though the Paiskim say that the minik is that women and avodim, when they say Bris of Muslim, should say these words, but since they're not on the same level as men and avodim, they can't be together. Other Rishonim explained that the reason women and Avodim should make a Zimun for themselves, not together with each other, is because of Pritzus. So Tosfos says, and that is the Halacha, the Paskin, that even though the Gemara says that women can make Zimun for themselves, it's a Rishus. It's not that they're obligated to say Zimun, they may say Zimun. The Rosh disagrees with Tosfos. The Rosh says, so let's look at the words of the Gemara. Let's look at the words of the Braisa. Hakol chayovim. Chayovim seems to indicate that they're obligated. It's not just a reshus, it's not just voluntary. So how do we indeed understand the opinion of Tosfos? So I saw the Paiskim say, and this is very relevant, la'alok l'maisa, that even though Tosfos says that if you have a group of women eating together, they're not obligated in Zimun, it's only Rishus. But let's say you had women eating together with a group of men, a group of three men or more. Then once we have three men eating together, there's an obligation for Zimun. So then that obligation is not only on the men, but it's on the women as well. And the women have to answer the Birchas HaZimun because they were together part of a meal with three men ate, and an obligation for Zimun became required. The issue that the Mishnah Berurah goes on to discuss is what would be the halacha if we have three men and three women eating together, and as we just explained, now the women became obligated in Birchas HaZimun, and the men are mezamen themselves, nay the women, who now, even according to Tosfos, according to all opinions, have a chiyuv of Zimun, make Zimun themselves. Not only may they make Zimun themselves, maybe they're obligated to make Zimun themselves because they have a chiyuv of Zimun, or not. Mishnah Berurah seems to feel that maybe under those circumstances they have an obligation in Zimun. Just to read the words again of the Gemara, how come it starts from Zimun l'suyimai, l'suyim ha'kotna yidei l'mi mevarchim, d'ar l'nachma yidei l'mi mevarchim, l'zam l'olof. How come atam ziva? The Mishnah says that everybody is included in Tumas Ziva, L'suyi Mai, who's that come to include? L'suyi Tinik Ben Yoyman, and includes a Tinik who's even a day old. The Tanya Ish, the Pasuk says Ish. Ma Kamalon Ish Ish. Why does the Torah say the words Ish Ish? L'rabois Tinik Ben Yoyman Echad. As Mepharshim explained, we have a rule throughout Shas, Ein Miyat Achamid Al L'rabis. Here the Torah says the word Ish twice. It's coming to be marba, even a cotton in the din of ziva. Shematam v'ziva di Rav Yehuda. Hashav v'noi shavyoichem v'broik oimer. Einu tzorich. We don't need this limud to tell us that a child is included in tumas ziva. For harehu oimer. V'azov azoiva l'zocher ul'nekeva. L'zocher kalshu any zocher is included. Ben cotton ben godel. L'nekeva. Koshi in the cave, any females included, Beng Doila, Beng Tana Beng Doila. Imkain, Matam Alama Ish Ish. What does the Torah mean when it says Ish Ish? They retire Kloshim Le'adim. Hakum Atam Matam Meis. The Brisa says that all are included in Tumas Meis. Says the Gemara Sui Mai, who is that coming to include? Answers Gemara, Basuye Kotin. Salkadata Chamina. Ish Ashi Yitma V'lo Yischata. The Torah there is speaking about the person who's Tumas Meis, that he may not enter the Beis HaMikdash, and if he does, he's Chayif Karis. So it's think Ish in Kotin Loi, that the din of Tumas Meis only applies by adults, not by Ketanim, Kamash Malon. All nefashis, male or female, are included in the din of Tumas Meis and in the Tahara with the Mechatos. Ask the Gemara, if so, El Ish Lemutimai, so what does the word Ish come to teach us? Answers the Gemara, Lemute Katn Mekaris. That even though a Katn is included in the parasha of Tumas Meis, were a Katn who's Tumay to enter the Beis HaMikdash, he's not Chayif Karis. Ask Tysus, of course he's not Chayiv Karis, he's a cotton. So Tysus answers, we would think that since we see that the Torah included him in the din of Tumas Meis, even though normally Ketanim are not included, so we would think that his inclusion goes so far as to include him in the Chayiv Karis, that's why the Gemara has to teach us that he's not included. Other Mefarshim I saw answer as follows, that what would be the halacha if a cotton entered the Beis HaMikdash while he was Tameh, while he's still a cotton, and then while he's there he became a Gadol, the Brice is teaching us, the Pasuk is teaching us, that since when he entered he was a cotton, he will not be Chayiv Karis. The Mishnah says, Hakom Matam B'Nagon, all people are subject to Tumas Nagon, says the Gemara, L'Sui Mai, what is the Hakom coming to teach us there? Answers the Gemara, Lasui Kotten. It's coming to include a Kotten. Kosalka Data Chamina. We might have thought, the Torah says, Ish Tsuruksiv, Ish In, that the din only applies by adults, the parasha of Nagoyim. Kotten Loy, but not by the parasha, but not by Ketanim, Kamash Malon. And as Mepharshim explained, because since we're so used to understanding that Nagoyim come on a person or on his home, or in his clothing, because of certain Averis, and a cotton isn't one that's a Bal Avera, so maybe he ought not to be included in the parasha of Nagoyim, teaches us the Torah that a cotton is included in the parasha of Nagoyim. Ask the Gemara, but maybe, Ve'machanami, maybe indeed a cotton is excluded from the parasha of Nagoyim, answers the Gemara, the Pasuk says, Adam, Kiyev or Besarai, become Makan. Any Adam that has Nagoyim becomes Tamei. Ask the Gemara, if so, Ela Ish Lamali, why do I need the word Ish? L'chertanya, Ish, only Ela Ish. I would only know that the din of Tzras applies by men. Ish Shemanai, how do I know that it applies by women as well? Kishu Aymer, V'hatzerua, when the Torah says the word V'hatzerua, Harekan Shnayim. It's not only speaking about men, it's also speaking about women as well. M.K. Matam Alame Ish. So why does the Torah say Ish? Which seems to indicate that it's only applying to, that only by men, not by women. Linya Shamata. To teach us the other halacha. That the halacha is Ish Pereyu Farim. That when a man is a Mitzayra, he has to let his hair grow, he has to tear his clothing. V'ein Isha Parasa Faramis, but that then doesn't apply by men and women. So, the Tosfos asks that here we have a Pasuk of Tzarua that's coming to include somebody else, and the Ish is coming to exclude. So, what we're learning is that Ish comes to include children, and Tzerua comes to include women. Maybe say the other way around, ask Tosfos, and maybe Tzerua comes to include Ketanim, and Ish comes to include women, and women will be Chayiv and Free and Frima. So Tosfos says that since Priya and Frima are particularly revolting, the Torah did not want to treat women in that way, and since the Torah did not want to treat
women in that way, it makes sense that it's the women who are excluded from the din of Pri or Frima. I saw from the Zeiche Yitzchak, why is there indeed, if we're saying that women and men are included in the din of Pash of Tsaras, why would we think that they're different? Why should they be different as far as Pri and Frima? So he answers a very interesting pshat. He says that there are two parts to Tsaras. There's one that the person becomes a Mitzayra, with all the rules of a Mitzayra. And another rule is that a Mitzayra has to be act by Avelus. The din of Avelus, says the Zeiche Yitzchak, was only said to men, not said to women. It says, Hakaroyim as a Nagoyim, Hakakshayim Maliris as Nagoyim. That everybody's allowed to see the Nega. Ask the Gemara, Lasuyamai, what is this coming to include? Of course, answers the Gemara, Lasuyish and Abokibem Mishmesayim. As we know, there are very specific halachas regarding the Nagoyim, and only a Kayin is allowed to determine that somebody's a Baal Nega. Here it's coming to teach us that somebody doesn't know all of the rules. That means he isn't able to identify if it's really a Nega, or he doesn't know the rules of the Negayim. He still could be the Kayin to establish what as a Mitzvah. Ask the Gemara, V'hamamar, haven't we learned that Ein Abaki Ben Rishmaseim Ein Arayis Negayim? Such an individual may not see the Negayim. Answers the Gemara, Am Ravina Loi Kasha. Hadim Izbrelei V'Savar, Hadim Izbrelei V'Loi Savar. The Pashto Pshat in the Gemara is, that if he's such a Kayin, that if he has a Yisrael, as Taisus explains, accompany him on evaluating the Negah, and when the Kayin, when the Yisrael explains to him the various rules, he understands what the Yisrael is telling him, such a Kayin may pass the Negoyim. Hard the Mesmer live life Savar, but if he can't understand all of the rules, then he is indeed exempt from, he can't paskin on a nega. That's one pshat. Another pshat that Taisus suggests is that we're not talking about the Kayin. We're talking about the Yisrael. We said that a Kayin who's accompanied by Yisrael, if the Yisrael teaches him the halacha is that that will be considered a valid pshat, to which the Gemara says, which kind of Yisrael, which, who is the Yisrael that we could rely on? Only such a Yisrael who's Mizbar Levisavar, that has a certain level of knowledge in halacha. But if the Yisrael is an individual, the Mizbar Levisavar, he cannot be the Yisrael to accompany the Kohen. A third shot that Taisus suggests is that it can't just be that any Kohen who's an Amoritz, and just because he has a Yisrael go along with him and tell him what to do, can be a kosher Kohen to paskin on a Negev. Rather, Taisus says like this. There, as I said a moment ago, many halachas involved in the Goyim. So if the Kohen is such an individual that knows the halachas regarding this Nega, even though he doesn't know all of the Hilchas Negoyim, but what's relevant for the question at hand he does know, such a Kohen may paskin on a Nega. But if he knows nothing about this question, then he may not paskin on this Nega. The halacha is that if somebody becomes Tamei Meis, they have to make a mixture of the ashes of the Parah Aduma and Mayim Chayim and sprinkle it on the person. And it says, Hakuk Shem Lekadesh, everybody is allowed to make this mixture Lasuya Mai. Answers the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda Lasuya Katan. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's come to teach us that even a Katan can do this. Ul Rabban Lasuya Isha. And according to Rabban, it's come to teach us that a woman may do it. Tanan, as the Mishnah teaches us, Hakul Kshem Kadesh Chut Mecheri Shait V'Katan. That's the opinion of Tanakama. So Katan may not, but Isha may. Rabbi Yehuda Machsh V'Katan or Poisel Bishem and Androgynous. So according to him, a Katan may and Isha may not. Furthermore, the Mishnah says, Hakul Kshem L'Hazos. Everybody's allowed to do this sprinkling. L'Suyimai. Who's that come to include? Says the Gemara L'Suya Oro. It comes to include an oral or Krivelozer. Rashi says that the oral meant here is an oral, somebody who did not have a bris mila, shmeisu echa matus mila, because his older brothers died during the mila, so therefore he didn't have a mila. Other Rishonim say it doesn't make a difference why he's an oral. Dom Krivelozer, oral shahiza has also kshem. I saw the Aruch HaNer asks a question. The Brice, the Mishnah seems to say, Hakul Kshem Lahazus, that even L'chadchila, this oral, is allowed to do Hazor. The wording of Rabbi Lazar, however, of Hazor Shera, seems to indicate that he's only kosher b'di'evit. So Aruch HaNer answers that everybody agrees that an oral, as is implied in the words of the Mishnah, that oral may do hazah even l'chatchila. I, what are the words of hazah sekshera that Rabbi Lazar uses? So he answers that Rabbi Lazar was actually saying his words in answer to a question. Where a question was posed, where an oral made the hazah, is it a kosher hazah or not? To which Rabbi Lazar replied, hazah sekshera. But Rabbi Lazar didn't mean to say that it's only kosher b'di'avid. He meant it's even kosher l'chatchila. Hakla Shoichtim, the Mishnah in the beginning of Sefer Chulin says Hakla Shoichtim, Lasuy Moy, who is it coming to include? Answers the Gemara, Chada Lasuy, actually it says it twice in Sefer Chulin. Says the Gemara, Chada Lasuy, once in that days and once in that Tezvav. Says the Gemara, Chada Lasuy Kuti, that the Kutim are, we trust their Shchita, and as we learned in the Sefer Chulin, the halacha is that we rely on the shkita of a kuti l'chatchila only when he's supervised by a Jew. But the eved, if the kuti shechta without a Jew supervising him, and what we do is we give the kuti a piece of the meat that he slaughtered, and if he eats from that meat, that is an indication we may eat from that meat, because as we learned in Masechta Chulin, the kutim were careful to only eat kosher meat. What they were not careful with was that they didn't care about lifnei iver, they're giving somebody else non-kosher meat. So if we see the kuti eating from this meat, that's clearly an indication that he's careful that this meat is kosher. For chadim l'su yisrael mumer, yisrael that's a mumer l'teyoven, as we learned in Masechta Chulin as well. There's a mumer l'teyoven and a mumer l'hachis. A mumer l'hachis, we can never eat from a shkita. A mumer l'teyoven is such an individual who just takes life easy, he doesn't care. So if we give him a knife that is properly, that's a kosher knife to shecht with, there's no reason why he shouldn't, and we see him shecht with that knife, we have no reason to be suspect that he didn't do it any way but the right way, and then the halacha is we could eat from his shechita. The Mishnah says in Masechet Ksuvos, Hakol Ma'al Etzisrael, everybody can go to Etzisrael, L'suy Yimai, what does that come to teach us? Says the Gemara, L'suy Avodim. Two pshatim and what that means. One is, it refers to avodim kananim. That's how Rashi explains here, that if a person has an Eved Kanani, he could force, the Eved Kanani could tell his Jewish owner that he wants to go to Eretz Yisrael and live in Eretz Yisrael and should be sold there. Or another pshat, Rashi says in Masechet Ksuvos, is if one owns an Eved Ivri and he's making aliyah, he's moving from Chutzlar to Yisrael, he could force the Eved Ivri to come along with him. Ask the Gemara, on the man that Tani Avodim Adya, and according to the version that the Mishnah mentions Avodim, so back to where we started, Hakol Asu Yimai, what does the word Hakol come to teach us? Says the Gemara, Asu Yimai Neveh HaYofa V'Neveh HaRoh. Somebody has a nice home in Chutzlar, and if he's going to move to Yisrael, he's not going to have such a nice home. He still could be demand to move to, he could still force his family, his wife, to move to Eretz Yisrael. Another definition of Nefei Yofel and Nefei Ra is that he lives in a place where food is inexpensive and he's going to move to Eretz Yisrael where the food may be expensive, he still could coerce his family to go along with him. Then I call Metziim Lasuyimai, Lasuyi Evet Shabarach Mechutz Laretz Laretz. So even though, as Mepharshim say, the Gemara could have answered that it's, we say enakom etzim because of the first halacha of hakom malim, but we always try to avoid that teretz if possible. And here we're coming to teach us that if an eved kanani ran from teretz Yisrael, he escaped teretz Yisrael. So even though, as we learned before, this is the way the Rishonim explained, an eved kanani can demand of his owner that he wants to live in Eretz Yisrael. But here he escaped without permission, so perhaps the halacha ought to be different. Teaches us the Gemara teaches us the Mishnah that even though he did it the wrong way, he escaped, not as an Eretz Yisrael, we don't force him to leave. Haklamalim Yerushalayim Nasuyamai, the Suyamin they have Yafel and Ve'ara, that even if somebody's living in Eretz Yisrael, in a nice apartment, and if he's going to move to Yerushalayim, he wouldn't have such a nice apartment, he still could force the family to go along. The husband could force the wife could force the husband. Furthermore, the Mefarshim explained that the Gemara says, Yeshivas Krochim Kosher. Living in a city is more complicated than living in a suburb, because in the city it's much more cramped. And certainly Yerushalayim, since there were always so many people in Yerushalayim, was a much more cramped environment. Still, you could force somebody to move to Yerushalayim, you could force your family to move to Yerushalayim. Then you come and see in the Suyamai, the Suyamai Ve'ara, the Fair Yofa. Even if you have a nice, even if it's a situation who is moving from a not such nice apartment in Yerushalayim to a nice apartment outside, you cannot force the family to do so. You can remain in Yerushalayim because Yerushalayim is Yerushalayim. Hakachiyam b'sukkah, kahanu v'im Yisrael. Our Gemara till now, the last block and a half, has been focused on when the Mishnah or the Braisa uses the word hakol. And what does the kol come to teach us? Now, there are many Mishnais and Braises that use the word kahanim levi'im v'yisraelim. Actually, our Mishnah does as well. We'll discuss it tomorrow, what the Mishnah, our Mishnah comes to teach us with those words. So now ask the Gemara, what do we learn from these words? Pshita, isn't it obvious? If the Kohanim Levim Yisraelim are not obligated, man mechayvi, who will be chayiv? Answers the Gemara Kohanim Yisraelim. The Chiddush is on the Kohanim. Sa'kadat chamina. Hoyvuk says, the Torah when it speaks about the mitzvah sukkos, says the sukkos teishu. Vomimar, and in explanation, the pasuk says teishu shivas yomim. And we learn from it, teishu ka'ein tadur. Ma'adira, ish v'ishtan, just like in a home, a husband and wife live together. Af sukkah ish ishtay. Who too has to sit in a sukkah with him? Only a person who could be there together with his wife. The hani kahanim, when we speak about the kahanim and sukkahs, hoyel b'nei avoydininu, they're obligated to do the avoydah during the yontav of sukkahs. So therefore, during sukkahs, kahanim cannot live with their wives. Kahanim can't have relations with their wives because they're going to be tamei if they have relations with their wife. And even if they have relations with their wife at night and go to the mikveh in the morning, they're still going to be tefillah yoyim. They may not do the avoidah. So we would think, so therefore we would think, since kohanim may not have relations with their wife, lo lechayvu, they should be people who are exempt from sitting in the sukkah, kamash malon, ne'ed b'tir b'shas avoidah. Even though they're potter when they're doing the avoidah, from sitting in the sukkah, shloi b'shas avoidah, when they're not doing the avoidah, mechayiv, chiyuv mechayiv, the mechayiv to sit in the sukkah, meaning to have a hochid rochim, just like people who are traveling, the memar, that the Gemara Masech, the sukkah teaches us is the halacha, hochid rochim b'yoyim, if they're traveling by day, so since they're traveling, they're potter from the sukkah, turim in a sukkah b'yoyim, but at night when they're not traveling, the chayiv. So the way the Mefarshim explained the Gemara is teaching us is that the rule of Teishu Kei Taduru, that indeed Kahanim may not have relations with their wives during Sukkot, but that rule is just le mitzvah, but it's not essential, and therefore the rule of Kei Taduru is not the definition of what is the mitzvah of Sukkot. But actually, there are a number of ways of understanding this Gemara by the Mefarshim that have relevance to Halacha L'maisa. One pshat in the Gemara is that the Gemara in the Hamin assumed that the Hanim are potter from sitting in the Sukkah, because let's think about it. By day, they're doing the avoid in the Beis HaMikdash, and as the Mefarshim point out, they weren't allowed to build a Sukkah in the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore they're potter by day, because they're like the whole Chedrakim, and at night they're potter because they can't have relations with their wives, and anyone who can't have relations with their wife is potter from the sukkah, to which the Gemara responds, that doesn't apply, the Kein Tadura is not absolutely essential.
That's one way of learning the Gemara. But then the Mefarshim, and this is the way the Magen Avraham learns the Gemara, because the Magen Avraham says our Gemara is the basis of a psak of the Ramah. The Ramah says that if one, we know the chiyuv is to sleep in the sukkah, but says the Ramah, if one has a sukkah in a place where he can't sleep with his wife, he can't have relations with his wife because it's a public area, such a person need not sleep in the sukkah. Because says the Magen Avraham, the way the Ramah understands the Gemara is that indeed the Gemara is remaining with the halacha, teishu kein teduru, that you have to be able to live with your wife in the sukkah. But the Gemara is teaching us that kohanim, who don't live with their wives on sukkahs, should sleep in the sukkah, because they're anyway not going to have relations with their wives. Everyone else who can have relations with their wives in sukkahs, if they have a sukkah where they can't fulfill that, could sleep indoors. But then the Mefarshim also speak, what about Leviim? Leviim also do avodah on sukkah. So why is our Gemara focused only on Kohanim, not on Leviim? So there are those that say the Gemara here is speaking about Leviim as well. But others explain that there's a fundamental difference between Kohanim and Leviim. Two explanations. One is that, as I said before, if a Kohen were to have relations with his wife at night, even if he went to the mikveh in the morning, he would still be a tful yoy, and the halach is that a tful yoy can't do the avoida. But the avoida of the Leviim may be done by a tful yoy. So even if he's going to have relations with his wife, he could go to the mikveh in the morning and do what he has to do. Another explanation is that there's a difference between the Kohanim and the Leviim. Even though we know that the Kohanim were divided into Mishmairis, different groups, different weeks, the halacha is that on Yom Tovim there are no Mishmairis. Which means, say the Mefarshim, that every day of Yontif, every Kohen has an obligation to do the Avodah. And therefore, obviously, he cannot have relations with his wife any night of Yontif, because that would exclude him from being able to do the Avodah. Even though all Leviim were able to do their Avodah on Yontif, they didn't have an obligation to do their Avodah every day of Yontif. And since they didn't have an obligation to do every day of Yontif, so they'll be like a Yisrael who maybe will have relations with his wife one night of Yontif and come to the Beis HaMikdash on another day. The Brisa says, Haku Chayog Mitzitzis, Kahanam Avim Yisraelim. So again, the question is, Pshita, of course, Kahanam Avim Yisraelim, why do I have to say it? Answer, the Gemara Kahanam Yisraelim. Satatat Chamira, Horeb Ksiv Lesubash Shatnes Gedilim. Only such an individual who has no heter to wear klayim, who the mechayim mitzitzis, he has an obligation to wear tzitzis. For hani kahanim, hoyav ishtri klayim l'gabayu, because the avnet was made out of shatnes, loy l'chayvu. Maybe we should say that they're not mechuyiv in tzitzis either. Kamash malon teaches us the brisa. Now the ishtri be'idin avoida, that even though they're doing avoida, they're not allowed to wear klayim. But like idin avoida la ishtri, other times they may not wear klayim, and therefore they're included in the mitzvah tzitzis. So Mefarshim asks, what's the difference between the reisha and the sefer? Did the Gemara know that kahanim only may wear klayim when they do the avoida and no other time? So I saw two explanations. One explanation is that the Gemara and the Havamina assume that Klayim by Kahanim is Hutru, completely Mutter, and the Gemara and the Maskana says it's Tuchuyim. Another explanation is that the Gemara and the Havamina assume that Kahanim that are allowed to wear Klayim, not only may they wear Klayim when they do the Avodah, but then they're not really having Hanor from the Klayim, because they're wearing it as a mitzvah, a mitzvah slav lahenis nitnu. But even after the Avodah, they're allowed to wear Klayim, because the Torah wasn't so makbid. Teaches us the Braisa that no, they're limited only to when they're doing the Avodah, no other time. And when they're doing the Avodah, it's not really called wearing clothing because they're not having Hanor. But then I saw a different question. It was saying that Klayim and Tzitzis travel together, so why a woman putter from
klein, from tzitzis. Women are not allowed to wear shatnas. So some explain that this is smuchim, it's not a hekish. Others say the prophet says by tzitzis, b'nei Yisrael, and we learn b'nei Yisrael for like b'nei Yisrael, and therefore women are still chayiv in not allowed to wear shatnas, even though they're not obligated in tzitzis. Hakol chayav mitfilin. Again, the Brisa says kaharam levim Yisraelim, and again asking Mar Pshita, and so the Mar Ksanim itzuchle. Sakadat chamin harlut zuk shatnas lois al yodecho voilut etofes benenecho. Call the east of the mitzvah of the yad, east of the mitzvah of the roish. Only if you're obligated to wear tefillin shayad must you wear tefillin shayroish. The hani kahan, however, left of the mitzvah of the yad, kahanim cannot wear tefillin shayad. The ksiv, because the Torah says regarding the big day kahuna, yilvash ab soroi, shloi dava chaitz beinoi beb soroi, there's not going to be anything between his clothing and his body. So they can't wear tefillin shayad because they're going to be chatzitza between his body and the big day kahuna. So Ema, we were thinking, mitzvah the Rosh Nami Lechayiv, they ought not to be Chayiv and Tfilin Shorosh either, Kamash Malon, to Loi Makve Hadodi, that they're not Makiv, Kretanan, Tfilin Shoyad Eina Makev Shorosh, the Shorosh Eina Makev Shoyad. Interesting question in the Paiskim. If somebody only can wear one part of the Tfilin, Shoyad Shorosh, he doesn't have both, he doesn't have either, and he has to borrow, but he can only borrow one. Which one should he borrow? The Shoyad or Shorosh? Some suggest the Shoyad, but since the halacha is we put on the yad first, so that's what you should borrow first. Others say the shalroish, because the shalroish has a higher level of kedusha. Ask the Gemara, or Mishnah the yad. The Gemara said the kahanim can't wear the tefillin shal yad because of the chatzitza. The ksiv yilvash avsora. Roish nami ksiv v'santa mitznefes al roishai. So how could he wear tefillin shal roish? He has the mitznefes. And as the Mepharshim say, the Kohen Gadol wears the Mitznefes, but the same Allah will be by the Kahanim Hajoitim who wear the Mikbash. Answers the Gemara, Tana, the Brisa says, Sarah, you're near Beit Tzitz and Mitznefes, there was room in between the Tzitz and Mitznefes, to Shamanir Tfilin, and that's where he was able to wear Tfilin. However, based on this Gemara, the Pais can say, the Tfilin Shalroish should not be very large, because obviously, there wasn't that much room between the mitznefes and the tzitz. So obviously, the size of the tefillin shorosh is not that big. And the Shalom Meshiv says that we know that there are many people that wear both Rashi tefillin and Rabbeinu Tam tefillin. And there are those that have a minute to wear them at the same time. From here he says, it seems, that the space to wear the shorosh is very small, and even if you're going to wear Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, don't wear them at the same time. Again, the Brisa says, Kaharim Levim Yisraelim. And again, ask the Gemara Pshita, of course, who then? Answer the Gemara, Kaharim Yitzchalei. Sa'atadat chamin ahoy l'ksiv yoyim turu yu l'chem. Man de leysa el b'tkiya chad yoyim l'chayim. Only somebody who has tkiya once a year has a chiv of tkiya shoyfer Rosh Hashanah. V'hani kahanim, hoyol v'isla b'tkiya kula shata. They're obligated to have tkiya shoyfer in the entire year. Because as the Pasuk says, Usukhatim bechatzoitzois al aloiseichem, that whenever carbon is brought, they blew. Eimeloi lechayvi. That's why we have to teach us that they are chayv and tkiya shoyfer. Ask them, what's the hammina? Nidami. Hosom, by kabonis, they blew with chatzoitzis, with trumpets. Hocha, they blew with a shoyfer. Says the Maritza. Sakadat chamina. Horavatnan. Shabbal hayoyvel Rosh Hashanah. That in the Yom Kippur of the Yovel year, they blew, in the Tekiah Lebrachos, they blew Tekiahs, and they said Zichronius, Malchus, and Shofars. So we think the Issa of the Mitzvah Yovel, only an individual who's included in the Mitzvah Yovel, Issa of the Mitzvah Rosh Hashanah is included in the Mitzvah Rosh Hashanah. The Leis of the Mitzvah Yovel, Leis of the Mitzvah Rosh Hashanah, Vahani Kahani, Hoyovel less than the Mitzvah Yovel, because the Halacha is, if the Yisrael sells a property during the Yovel year, the sale is void. If a Kohen and Leviim do, it isn't void. The Tanakh Kohen and Leviim, Meichem L'Oilam, even if they sell property in the Yovel year, the sale is a valid sale. The Gaalim L'Oilam, the Halach is that if Yisrael sells a Stei Achuzah, he may not redeem it within the first 2 years of the sale. Kohen and Leviim don't have that restriction. So we would say, Eimim Mitzvah Roshana Nami Lo L'Chayva, Chamash Malam, Neh, the less than Mashmak is Karka, even though the din of Yovel on property is different by Kahanim Leviim versus the din of Yisraelim. Vashmatas ksafim regarding the cancelling of debts. Or vishluach avodim mi yisnim kahanu avim are the same as Yisraelim. And that's enough that since they're same in that rule, they're also going to be mechuyev and tekiyah shayfer as well.